He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning, the sky is falling version of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, you got a couple of forces teaming up on the market today. China, that has been brewing, and that continues to fester. And they've got a big property company over there that's in trouble. And you have now the debt limit fight here in the U.S., which is also roiling the markets today. The big question is, this market's been going up since 2009. Is this the end? Well, I'll give you my take on it here during today's show. Right now, the Dow is down 414. It has improved here. We're back above 34,000. We're at 34,160 right now. The S&P is down 60, which translates into 1.4%. The S&P is at 4,372. The NASDAQ taking it on the chin. The FANG stocks in particular, the NASDAQ is down 253. It's under 15,000 for the first time in quite a while. The NASDAQ's at 14,789. The Russell 2K down 42. It's down 1.9%. And don't think that Bitcoin is a safe haven today. Bitcoin's getting slammed. Bitcoin down 7% today. Ouch. Down 3,300. And what's the 10-year doing? Well, it's down 4 basis points, back down to 1.33. So welcome to today's Sky is Falling Best Stocks Now show, Best Inverse ETFs Now show. I've already looked at quite a few charts today. Dog looks good. That's the inverse Dow. Inverse emerging markets, EUM, looks good. And, of course, the China inverse, FXP, also looks very good. So what's going on here today? The market and earnings have been going up since 2009. Is this the end? Is today the end of that long bull market? Well, if you read my newsletter over the weekend, there are bear markets taking place in the world markets in several segments. And there are areas of the market that are still viable and still full of vitality. Okay, so depends on where you're at. The reflation trade is absolutely getting slammed today. I hope you read my newsletter over the weekend on what I had to say about the reflation trade. If you didn't, you can get 2 free weeks of my newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. In fact, that was the crux of this week's newsletter. The main body, the main article of the newsletter was about the current state of the reflation trade. And you can read all about it once again at GundersonCapital.com. Well, you've got this potential collapse of a property developer in China called Evergrande. And whether or not the Chinese government cracking down is causing the collapse, that seems to be the more likely scenario here, because it would follow the pattern of what China's been doing. They've been eating their own recently. They've absolutely clobbered Alibaba, Tencent Holdings, JD.com, Pinduoduo, the electric vehicle makers like Li and others. And now this big property company seems to be in the crosshairs of China. And China is using the excuse of, Well, we've got too many dominant companies, and we're creating inequality in China. Inequality. That seems to be the mantra. And they are going after these companies, and they're returning to their big socialism roots, okay? Well, that can't happen without there being fallout around the world. But having said that, I don't think that the fall or the problems at Evergrande are going to bring about the end to the 12-year bull market that began in 2009. There's been many days like this along the way. There's been many weeks like this over the last 12 years. I think it's going to take more than this, even though this is not good news. It's going to take more than this to bring the end to the bull. But, you know, having said that, this bull is very mature. It's very, very mature. And so we have to really be on our guard right now and keep our eye on those earnings estimates, which I also updated in my newsletter this week, which, again, you can get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. And, of course, the Asian markets are very, very weak. Also, Hong Kong down big, China down big. China's actually closed today. I don't know what it would be. It'd be down 4 or 5%, I would imagine, if it were open. But I am seeing some of the Chinese ETFs getting slammed today, like FXI, which is kind of their version of the Dow over there in China. And I'm seeing the inverse China fund, FXP, double inverse. Double your pleasure, double your fun. It's double inverse, the China index. It's having a very, very good day. And, of course, those worries about Evergrande collapsing and overall worries about China's crackdown, it's going to spread to other countries around the world, and it's going to spread to other property companies. In fact, I'm seeing some of the property, some of the big financials like BlackRock and Blackstone, etc., Carlyle Group, etc., selling off today, thinking that there may be collateral damage from Evergrande here in the U.S. But, you know, I think it's more of this regulatory crackdown. I don't think there's really problems with the Chinese economy. The problems are coming from the top, the Chinese Communist Party, which all of a sudden really has done an about-face. You know, the previous, as I've said before, the previous leader of China was quasi-capitalist and brought about some pretty good prosperity to certain areas of China, obviously. You know, and you had Jack Ma and the Alibaba and the Ant Group and all this and that. And China really, their stock market roaring, their biotech industry starting to produce some results. Their technology, which most of it they probably got from us, really burgeoning, and their electric vehicle industry. The collateral damage is going to come with the companies that do business and sell products in China. I'm seeing a big sell-off today in GM, for instance, a big sell-off in Ford. We heard about Starbucks last week saying, hey, you know, our China sales are way down. Not only the crackdown, but also the shutdowns from the COVID virus in China. We heard about Yum China having issues. So definitely, and I've been saying this for quite some time, I would avoid the Chinese stocks, number one. That goes without saying. And number two, now, companies that have exposure and sell goods to China. Number three, companies that have a lot of supply chain in China. Those are now coming under pressure. And I would just say, you know, people that do business, the trade, going back and forth. And I would also say that it's impacting a lot of the commodity trade. You know, China is a big consumer of commodities. they have to import a lot of their commodities. We're talking iron ore, copper, things like this. That area of the market just looks horrible, horrible right now. And it was very vibrant, you know, just a few months ago. So this has been a big change. Okay, you hear me preach all the time about passive investing. This is why I'm not a fan of passive investing. Passive investing would more than likely say you need a chunk of your money sitting in the emerging markets. Well, I disagree wholeheartedly. I don't want any of my money in the emerging markets. Things have changed, okay? The world has changed. And that brings about changes that need to be made in portfolios. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Dow down 534 right now. What a way to start a new week, you know. I saw the news last night, probably in the middle of the night, that the Dow futures were down 500 on these worries over China. And, you know, also the worries over the upcoming debt limit fight, okay. Nothing's been done there yet, of course. That would cause a government shutdown and quite a bit of disruption if the Treasury were to run out of money, which Janet Yellen says they will do by sometime in October, which is just around the corner. So something's got to give here. But that's going to be a fight and a struggle. And in the meantime, you've had China. I mean, they've just done an about-face on what... quasi-capitalism that they had over there, and the crackdown continues, and the fallout has been wide and far, but the epicenter, the Chinese stocks, you know, the there was that KWEB, K-W-E-B, is an ETF of Chinese technology stocks. That thing was $105 per share back in February. And now it's $47 per share. It's lost more than 50% of its value. And that mid-February time frame was a very seminal moment in the market for 2021. It brought about the end, and those stocks continue to just get killed. The EV sector here in the U.S., the speculative part of the market, the high PE, high growth kind of stuff, that continues to be a terrible place to be. So I don't know. Look, if your money manager, your broker has you in a lot of these areas of the market that are just getting slammed, such as the emerging markets, such as China stocks, such as speculative U.S. stocks, and now it has spread to the reflation trade. Well, you know, I got out of the reflation trade. That area has been is now getting slammed. You know, I see areas of the market, I see trouble starting to show up in the charts that I look at every single day. I say, that's not good. That thing is starting to get ugly here. Time to get out. So, for instance, you know, I sold my Vale, which is a big mining company with a lot of exposure down in South America. In the dividend and growth portfolio, I sold Vail for a 48% profit back on September the 7th, 2 weeks ago. Okay, I sold Vail at $18.80. Where is Vail now? Vail is $15.63, and it looks terrible. It continues to get pummeled. The copper stocks continue to get pummeled, and they've really taken on just an ugly look here beginning maybe about 2 or 3 weeks ago. So that's why I do believe in being an active investor. That doesn't mean you're day trading and whipping in and out of stocks, but when big big cyclical changes come in the market, upheaval. Sector rotation takes place. You know, the market moved away from the small caps big time quite some time ago. Now, you can continue to insist that you're right and the market is wrong, but I guarantee you, you'll always lose that fight because the market is always right in the end. So, you know, without some vigilance, without some, you know, at least looking at what you own every single day or every few days or a couple times per week, I mean, you don't have a clue what's going on underneath the surface of the market. There's been some massive, massive rotation. If anything, I would say it's been a process of elimination of areas of the market that you just don't want any exposure whatsoever to. Well, I know, but the computer spits out this asset allocation based on my age. Well, I don't care what the computer spits out. You read the newspapers, you look at the charts of these indexes, the small cap index, the China index, the reflation trade index, basic materials, and things like that. They look horrible. Okay, so whatever, you know, it's up to you. That's why I played the song, go where you want to go, do what you want to do. The Bitcoin trade looks horrible. And I've said before, I'm not going to be buying it for my clients that have entrusted me with their assets to invest. You do what you want to do. Inflation, okay? Germany and France, of course, they're caught up in all of this too. Their inflation rate, PPI, 12% year over year. 12% year over year. It's not looking so transitory, is it? We seem to, but now, of course, you've got big sell-offs here and big plunges in prices of iron ore and copper and things like that. Maybe that will cool some of this inflation down. Well, if we don't have enough to worry about, the Fed is meeting this week. And whenever the Fed meets, all eyes on the Fed. If Jay Powell sneezes, the market, reacts immediately. The Federal Reserve will meet on Tuesday and Wednesday this week to discuss monetary policy. They got to be a little worried right now. This should be a time when they're low or when they're raising interest rates, but they can't. They're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. And I'm seeing the Democrats seem to want Powell, and it looks like he will remain, but I'm hearing some rumblings from some Republicans today about Powell's keeping interest rates low and keeping those asset purchases and even encouraging continued spending in the economy. So that's becoming a hot spot also. Well, they will meet this this week. They'll announce their decision on Wednesday. I would say that the chances are zero that they will raise interest rates. I guess the big news will be about the tapering. When will they taper? How much will they start to taper? When will it begin? So we'll be watching the Fed this week. Another little disturbing thing that came out on Friday, an economic report. Consumer sentiment, long-term prospects sink to record low. Okay, this is the University of Michigan, which is pretty much the one everybody looks at. The University of Michigan September consumer sentiment came in at 71 versus a 72 consensus. The steep August fall off in consumer sentiment ended in early September, but buying attitudes for house durables, so looking out over the longer term of the consumer sentiment timeline, they reached record lows. So the consumer might be okay right now, but as they look out over the longer term, you're seeing record lows that haven't been seen in a decade. So that's another worry for you here today. What else do we have to worry about? Well, I still don't think that this is the end of the 12-year bull. Oh, it's a bad day, and it's been a bad few weeks here. And you have to be very selective right now. There's only a few vital areas of the market left, and you got to avoid those bad areas. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show on this Monday, September 20th, with big sell-off to greet us and to start a new week, mainly coming out of China. And that's been a problem here for the last several weeks. You know, it was isolated pretty much to the Chinese stocks themselves, okay, and then it started to spread a little bit into our reflation trade, our reflation stocks, and now you're seeing it spread to property, maybe some of the financials that have exposure or collateral damage there that have interest over there. And it's also spreading to companies that sell products in China. And we'll just see how far this goes. But I still don't think that today is the big event that's bringing an end to the 12-year bear market. But I do think there's bull market. I do think there's a lot of bear markets going on all over the place. So China is definitely in a bear market. Anything down over 20% or more is considered a bear market. And that has definitely happened in China. Now, what will become of this U.S.-China relationship? I think there's going to be some concessions made. I think that China realizes that they kind of need us as a buyer of their goods, and we need them as, you know, the supply chain, and we need their goods. Our ports are usually full here in South Carolina of big chips coming from China, selling their goods, selling their wares that end up at Walmart and Home Depot and Lowe's and all the rest. So, you know, it's all it takes is some kind of announcement, you know, China having emergency talks, and you'll see the market start to turn around. We'll see, but I just don't think yet where we're at in all of this now, I don't see this being the end of the market hitting new highs since 2009. During that period of time, we've seen the Dow go from 6,500 to over 35,000 here recently. But there is quite a bit of damage being done in certain areas of the market. I'm just looking at the market today. It's pretty good flavor. You look at the emerging market, the ETFs, they continue to get slammed. Alibaba continuing to get slammed. It's spreading to some of the asset managers here in the U.S. like BlackRock and others. Bitcoin getting slammed here today. Caterpillar just getting taken to the cleaners here today. That would be part of that reflation trade. And if you didn't read my newsletter over the weekend, you know, I'm the guy back in February of this year, or March of this year, saying that this high growth, high PE trade that, you know, did well last year came to an end, and it's time to leave that trade while others continue to pour money into that area of the market. That's not wise, in my opinion, okay? And then in the past few weeks, a couple other areas of this market came to a screeching halt and are now selling off wickedly, okay? You can't just sit there passively and do nothing, in my opinion. But it is up to you. Caterpillar getting slammed today. Cleveland Cliffs getting slammed today. Cummins Engines. Deer getting slammed, all part of the reflation trade. The Dow getting slammed, where you'll find a bigger piece of that reflation trade. Now, as far as the technology sector goes, so far, yeah, it's selling off with the rest of the market, but it does not even approach having the ugly charts that some of these reflation stocks have. The electric car trade getting clobbered again today, Ethereum getting clobbered, Freeport MacMoran, which is copper. Again, China is a big buyer and user of commodities. They're getting slammed. The shipping stocks are getting slammed. They've seen some leadership. In any kind of cyclical industry, auto, industrials, you know, the automakers, home builders, not a very happy place to be right now. That's why I continue to believe in being an active investor versus a passive. What is working today? Well, the inverse funds, okay, DOG, inverse the Dow. DXD is two times inverse the Dow. EPV is inverse Europe. EUM is inverse the emerging markets, where you see a lot of China exposure there. And, of course, the inverse ETF that focuses on China, FXP, also getting clobbered. I do see the biotech sector. You want to pick a winning sector in the market today? There's not many. The inverse ETFs are one. The other one would be there's some big biotech winners today, and the genomics companies are doing fairly well. Okay, cash poured into equities last week and out of money market funds. Now, the important thing is, where did that money go leaving the money market funds? Well, mostly, according to Sector Watch, that money going into large cap U.S. growth funds, where you're going to find a lot of tech. And even though it's selling off today, that does continue to be one of the areas of the market with some vitality, okay? And yes, it is off today. But as I've been saying, the market's been getting more and more concentrated, moving out of one sector here and another sector there and concentrating in certain areas of the market. And obviously one of those areas is tech, big tech, Microsoft, for instance. What about the small caps? Nah, they look horrible. You know, if you look at the earnings expectations for the small caps over the next couple of years, and you look at the forward P.E. ratio of the Russell 2000 right now, or the S&P 600, that's where the best value is. Without question, that's where the best value is. But value without momentum and performance, I have to have both of those going for me. And the performance and the momentum and the relative strength of the small cap indexes continues to be very, very weak. So if I had a 401k at work and had some big, broad mutual funds offered to me, I personally would not have any exposure in emerging markets, which most people do, and I would have heavy exposure in U.S. large cap and fairly light exposure to U.S. Small cap stocks. I see 61 recent IPOs will be going into the Russell 2000, things like Krispy Kreme, which is not exactly a growth company anymore, so I wouldn't get too excited about that. Small caps continue to be a poor place to be. The materials sector getting slammed. And I exited that material sector before all of this started to unwind. I did not like the way things were trading. And I was reading about what was going on in China, you know, realizing that they're a big consumer of basic materials and starting to see those stocks weaken. And it was time to leave that area of the market. You could see a bear market in that portion of the market. Maybe not the overall market, but in that portion of the market. Vail, which I just mentioned, slides as iron ore price drops outweighs their dividend news. Oh, they're raising their dividend. But if the price of the product that they sell is plunging, that wipes out that raise in that dividend, doesn't it? Freeport-McMoRan, copper prices plunge as Evergrande crisis sparks sell-off. Well, Evergrande is a property company. They're a developer. They build buildings. Buildings need copper piping and iron ore and all kinds of different materials. And with this Evergrande crisis, that's sparking a big sell-off in this area. Nucor Steel Company plunges pre-market. They're building a new mill, a 2.7 billion sheet mill. That's another problem with investing in commodities. Just when the price starts to go up and demand is hot, what happens? Somebody announces we're building a new steel mill, which will increase supply and drive prices lower. That's kind of the commodity cycle. It's a very difficult area to invest in. All right. Well, there are still some vital areas of the market. Bill, you say that the bull is not dead yet. Where can we hide out until this passes? Well, we'll talk about some of the still vibrant areas of the market when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, I'm here with you, rain or shine. You know, whatever the market conditions are, I've seen a lot in my 21 years in the business. I've seen many days like today. And, you know, a lot of times news kind of builds up over the weekend, and then on Monday it's like everybody running for the phone, sell, sell, get out, get out, get out. And I really don't see any changes in that situation in China from last week, but it's building, and I guess, you know, a lot of news stories over the weekend, and you add that to the debt limit fight now taking place and the Fed meeting this week. And sometimes you just get days like today. But having said that, there's definitely areas of the market that look awful right now that I wouldn't have any exposure to. Now, let's just, I like to look at other, I'm not going to have an individual stock for you here as a featured stock of the day. I'm going to go a little different direction here today. I like to look at other people's macro outlooks, especially those that I respect. And one of the people I respect in the market, their opinion of the macro outlook, well, there's two people actually that I'll mention here. One would be Ed Yardini, who's been around a long time. He's interviewed a lot on the financial channels, and he produces a weekly estimates for the S&P 500, the S&P 600, the S&P 400, and he's been pretty reliable over the years. And he was asked over the weekend about this current situation with Evergrande in China. And he said basically what I have been saying. I don't think that this is a great big deal as far as the world goes. It's not a good situation. But is it going to be a contagion that's going to take down a lot of other companies with it? No, it doesn't look like it's going to be anything close to that. So that's his opinion, okay? And I would echo that opinion. As far as Brian Belsky goes, I agree with part of what he says, the biggest part of what he says, but not exactly the smaller part of what he says. Okay, he's the BMO strategist. He sees S&P 500 climbing 300 points by the end of the year. Brian Belsky, chief investment strategist of BMO predicted Friday that low interest rates and strong corporate profits will allow the S&P 500 to rise more than 300 points by the end of the year. Well, his reasons, you can't fight the Fed. They're going to keep interest rates low. That is very difficult to try to short the market and bet on a big bear market starting to begin here when you have the Fed that has kept this market going since 2009. You say, well, what are the two biggest reasons for the market's big 12-year run here that's taken the Dow from 6,500 to 35,000? Well, Belsky says it right here. He says that strong corporate profits and low interest rates. That's a very potent combination. Now, I watch those corporate profit expectations every single week. And I published my latest forecast in the newsletter on Friday, which I offer out 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. That's going to be very critical to watch going forward. The other thing that's going to be critical to watch, and I also mentioned this in my newsletter over the weekend. I mean, one of the most important things I do on a daily basis and weekly in the newsletter is give you the current reading of the temperature, the health of the charts of all of these important asset classes. Look at a chart of China. I publish that every week in my newsletter, and I comment on it. Look at the chart of interest rates. I publish that every week in my newsletter and comment on it. Look at the chart of the S&P 500. Where do you think the trouble will show up first? Where do you think I first noticed trouble in the basic materials and in the reflation stocks, the steel, the copper, the iron ore stocks? I noticed it first in looking at the one-year charts. Okay, when you visit a patient every single day like I do, I spend 8 to 10 hours a day in the market, up to my eyeballs. You notice when a patient is off and not looking as good as it has been in recent weeks. All of a sudden you say to yourself, that doesn't look good. I think I'm going to get out of the way of that, which I did back in February. Out of the way of the speculative stocks, and which I did recently with the reflation stocks. And conversely, it also tells me when it's time to go all in, which I did in February of 2020 at the very bottom of the, or March of 2020, at the very bottom of the COVID virus. I looked at the charts and I said, look, they're putting in a bottom here. And things are looking up when you look down the road 12 to 24 months. So that newsletter that I publish every week, you do what you want to do with it. You can line your birdcage. I don't care. But I do that work every week. It's my own internal research on the market. And it's what drives my decisions. And I offer out 2 free weeks every single week. You go to my website at GundersonCapital.com. Okay, if you're not happy with your advisor, if he's sitting there in emerging markets or reflation stocks or basic materials or China or whatever, you know, it's time to start looking around for somebody who's just a little bit more on top of what's going on in the markets these days, because it's changing rapidly. And eventually we're going to come to the end of this 12-year bull. Maybe it goes 13, 14 years. I don't know. I take it a week at a time. But the last bear was in 2008. It took 53% out of the S&P 500. And back in 2000, the NASDAQ was down 79%. You want to be a passive investor? Give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or begin with my newsletter, my weekly newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.